Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? The Gridiron Blitz right here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. One more weekend of exciting NFL football. Today we have an exciting guest in the No Joke Football Huddle at 15 after. We have the beautiful Elizabeth Faust of the USA Football Events Coordinator. We'll be talking about the Women's World Football Games 3 that's coming up in March. So we'll have her on in a couple minutes here. In the meantime, we will be talking divisional round with the NFL, everything in between, obviously seven coaching changes on top of that. And then we have news and notes on the women's game, as most of the leagues internationally as well as here in the States are doing tryouts. So a little bit of news tidbits on tryouts as we get through the hour. And so we're going to welcome in our co-host, Nkechi Free and Troy Wilson. Guys, how's it going today?
Hello. Hey, what's going on?
Doing good.
Doing really well. Excited about some football that we saw this past weekend. Of course, excited about the upcoming weekend with the NFC and AFC championship games to decide who goes to the Super Bowl. This is what it's all about. So you guys prepare for it. So I'm jacked up about it.
I'm preparing for snow.
Now I know we were talking off air, Troy, that Erica's probably the only one here that's probably getting bashed, not with a foam bat, but all week with the Patriots conspiracy once again of cheating in the playoffs and going through, you know, all this stuff. There was an article on Deadspin that obviously claims from everything in the past, including former employees that have worked for the Patriots, that apparently Roger Goodell has, you know, at one point or another covered up certain aspects of their, you know, mischief stuff that they would consider cheating. But, you know, I don't know how true all that is at this point. The bottom line is, even if that's true, that they got some plays, they still got to play four quarters. So what do you think of that?
Well, I just think, I mean, you know, it's kind of sad that what happens when you have a team that has exemplified how to run a franchise this long, to have them, you know, keep going through, you know, the rumors and about them cheating and things like that. And, you know, all of these teams do the same thing. You know, it wasn't too recent. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where the Atlanta Falcons were fined for pumping crowd noise. The Browns were, you know, they were fined. Their GM was suspended for, I believe, half a year for, you know, having contact with their coaching staff during the games. But these things don't make headlines because those teams don't win consistently. But, I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, there's a, you know, a clip that's going on Facebook about Tom Brady where he does the pump, you know, he pumps his arm up. What he's asking for is for the referee to reset the play clock. And everyone's saying, oh, man, they cheat for the Patriots. This happens every single game, every single game. But you have all these people that kind of, you know, make a big deal out of it. And you see these type of things happen with every single team, but it just gets magnified more so because of what the Patriots, because they win so much. And it's kind of sad and embarrassing. If I were the people that were complaining about it, it's embarrassing because your team can't keep up with these guys. I mean, the bottom line is they prepare better, they play better, they're better coached, they're better managed, and they're better owned than any other franchise in NFL history, probably. And with instead of, you know, all the hatred, I think most people should sit back and enjoy.
And Keishi, what's your thing?
Well, I think that the Patriots have a do whatever it takes attitude and mentality toward winning. I did remember watching one game where the play clock reset itself miraculously. I watched it happen, and I don't remember what happened. Someone said, "Oh my God, look at this! The play clock got down to zero. Next thing we know, it reset to 24." And I was like, "Oh wow!" So, you know, I think that those types of things happen. I do think that they do have a whatever it takes attitude to win. But I also think that, like Troy said, this is a team that is primed to win. In some ways, the Patriots remind me of the Spurs, except with a lot of controversy. The Spurs are that team. I mean, look at what a magnificent basketball team they are. They have a mentality there. They have a philosophy in San Antonio, and it's all about winning, and it's all about championships. And that comes through in the play and the players and in how they put team before self. So I think that there's a lot of that. It's just that the San Antonio Spurs aren't glamorous or sexy like a lot of other teams, which is why, despite the fact that they win, nobody ever accuses them of cheaters. Whereas if the Patriots didn't have a Tom Brady, if they didn't have Gronkowski or Edelman or some of these other flashier players or the Randy Mosses in the past, then maybe people would be less likely to care about them winning. And so I think it's a mixed balance. I do think that there's some little shady stuff going on from time to time, and I do think there's some preferential treatment given to the Patriots. But I also think that they are just a really good football team and that they are, like Troy said, excellently coached. Doesn't mean I like it any better, but I think it's more of a balance. I think it's a little bit of both.
But I mean, you look at it from this perspective, the players that they brought in, like you brought up Julian Edelman, you brought up Gronkowski. Gronkowski was a second-round pick out of Arizona. You know, he's a big tight end, but no one knew he was going to be the Gronk. You know, they developed this guy into that. The same thing.
But
with
that's
Edelman.
My
Edelman,
point.
Edelman,
it's the fact.
Well,
Edelman yeah, I mean,
was,
Tom Brady was a
wide
round
receiver.
Pick.
Edelman
it's not
was,
that.
He wasn't even a wide receiver. Edelman was a quarterback at Kent State.
I know at Kent State.
So they developed these guys, you know?
Well, but that's not right. But, Troy, what I'm saying, though, is that Tom Brady himself was a sixth-round draft. So, I mean, it's not about where they draft. It's about what happens when they get there. No matter how long Tim Duncan has been in the league, Tim Duncan isn't LeBron James. He's not sexy enough. He's not sexy enough. He's Mr. Dependable. He's going to go in there. He's going to get the job done, and he's going to go on. Manu Ginobili, he's not sexy. The closest person they had to something that was electrifying on a star power level was Tony Parker for the San Antonio Spurs. And so it's not about where they come in. It's about what happens when they get there. And that's the only difference between them is that for whatever reason, they don't stay low key. Now, some of it is just bona fide jealousy. You know, I mean, you take a 6th-round draft pick and now all of a sudden he's married to one of the hottest models in the world. I'm sorry. There's just some real jealousy there. Mr. Ugg, Mr. You know, the face that Mr. Pretty Boy, you know. So that's what I'm saying. So there is some hate and it's, you know, there's some real hate. But some of it is justified in that, you know, like the whole Tuck rule. Oh, my God. That made me want to vomit. I said, are you serious? Where is this rule? Like, literally, the Tuck rule had been in existence forever, and nobody heard of it until that Super Bowl when Tom Brady pulled it. And that's what I mean about the preferential treatment. You know, switching the plays, switching the players, the crazy last-minute substitutions, you know, it's not so much that even some of that stuff is illegal. And I'm not even going to go into the flake gate because that's just crazy, you know. But the fact that there was some truth behind them doing the spying, you know, on the Rams prior to the Super Bowl. So I'm sorry, there is some truth to the fact that there's some shenanigans. But that does not mean that it is all shenanigans, and I can't attribute all of their success to shenanigans. I think it is a fair balance of a little bit of both.
Now, my 2 cents to this whole thing is, I understand the homework. I understand when you come in. But the bottom line is, once you play football and the ball is snapped, no matter how good, you know, the insights are, you still have to go out there and beat a man one-on-one. So adjustments could be made initially if somebody figured out, like Tor's point is, that something's going on. You know what I mean? At some point, I know you can get a hand up probably in the first quarter, maybe the first and a half quarters. But right after that, whatever you've scouted is probably going to go out the door. And considering that we put every coach in the NFL as a high echelon coach, at some point, the opposing coach is going to figure out that something is going on. Their plays are being run or something, and they got to make adjustments. So I can take the argument that maybe they're better astute of scouting, but once the games are played, if the opposing coach isn't up to par with, you know, making changes, then yeah, I guess you got to, you know, you take your lickings at this point. But the better squad, I think the better question is it because they've been so successful and under this regime of coach and quarterback? Because I have a lot of people like out here in the Bay Area going, okay, well, Walsh and Montana, way better than Belichick and Brady. But I really think we're at a stage where we can actually debate that real thoroughly and say that maybe Belichick and Brady are probably a little bit above notch now than Montana and Walsh, given the fact that I think Brady has gone through a lot more divisional playoffs, a lot more playoff standings than Montana ever did, given that fact. But I mean, we can skew the numbers and do all that. But Troy, do you think this regime is above Montana and Walsh at this point now?
Absolutely. And I say that because, you know, and it may not be a fair comparison because, you know, Belichick, he has coached, I believe this would be his 18th year. And Bill Walsh, he coached, I believe it was 9 years. So, I mean, it may not be an apples-to-apples comparison. Most people want to look at it from a perspective of Bill Walsh never lost a Super Bowl. Well, Bill Walsh won 3 Super Bowls for the San Francisco 49ers, and he coached an absolute game changer as far as his offense, you know, became the staple of what every NFL offense would run, which you people call the West Coast offense, is what was invented by Bill Walsh. So at that point, you know, he kind of does, you know, get a little bit of a leg up. But you cannot deny the fact that Bill Belichick has gotten his team to six Super Bowls. They're 4-2 in the Super Bowls, and it took 2 absolute miracles to beat them in both of those Super Bowls. So, I mean, to try to take anything away from how this team prepares and what they've done it with, because, you know, besides Gronkowski, I mean, what really star player did they really have? They had Randy Moss, but Randy Moss didn't win a Super Bowl with them. So they actually made these guys in the star. When Wes Welker showed up there, he was a third-round draft pick coming out of Texas Tech, and they got him from Miami. And he was a punt returner there. And all of a sudden now he's a 116-catch guy for years. I mean, that's what this team does. They find out what your skill set is, and they use your skill set to their advantage. So in that respect, I have to sit back and say that the Bill Belichick regime, along with Tom Brady, I think they are better, in my opinion, despite the 2 Super Bowl losses.
And Keishi, what do you think? Better than Walsh and Montana?
Yeah, I actually agree. You know, Troy literally nailed it. I think that what Walsh and Montana did was amazing. And like Troy said, it was game-changing, especially coming up with the West Coast offense. And while Belichick hasn't come up with a game-changing scheme that people want to emulate, what he's come up with is a system, like everyone says, for being able to look at other teams' strengths and then take it away from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what his strength is. His strength is not in coming up with something creative that others can emulate. His strength is coming up and figuring out what you do best and taking it away from you. But that also being said, 2 of those Super Bowls that they won came down to the leg of their kicker. So in as much as, you know, what Bill Belichick does is great, let's not also forget that 2 of those Super Bowls were won on the strength of a field goal. So there's something to be said, too, for that. It doesn't change the fact he's gotten them there six times either. So I think they're both great. They're both great for different reasons. And I think that what they have brought to the game is different. I think the big difference is that I don't know if Bill Belichick can be emulated in terms of his ability to analyze. And because Bill Walsh wasn't trying to dissect other teams, he was only trying to perfect his. So in addition,
and I think that's where
the difference,
I really think the difference here is, to your point, I think the difference here is personnel. I don't think we're doing anything extraordinary in terms of an offensive threat or a defensive, you know, juggernaut. I think they play within the means of the game. And then, like Troy's point, they scout better than anybody. And then they take guys that were never given a chance or were never put in a pedestal of, you know, hey, you're so great, that he takes them from the bottom up and makes them some sort of greatness. So that's, you got to give him credit, at least in the coaching staff mentality of things. Got to give him credit. Let's go into the football huddle. No Joke Football Huddle, sponsored by Zazzle.com. And in the No Joke Football Huddle, we are going to have the beautiful Elizabeth Foss of the USA Football Women's World Football Games 3. She's the events coordinator. I think we have her on right now. So, Elizabeth, are you on?
Yes. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for joining us today. You're on call with Oscar Lopez here and Nkeshi Free and Troy Wilson.
How's it going, Elizabeth?
Perfect. Good. Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you guys for having me.
Welcome to the show.
All right. So, Elizabeth, we had requested Sam Rappaport, but we were told you're the lady in the know. Not that Sam is anything less, but... But you're the lady in the know, so we were more than happy to have you. We have a lot of listeners. You know, we cover Women's Gridiron on our Twitter feed and Facebook pages internationally as well. So this event is a huge event for bringing, you know, together a lot of the passionate women that play American football, not just in the U.S., but internationally. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how all this came about in terms of gathering, and then this is like the third event now, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we started, the idea kind of came about in 2013 at the Women's World Championships. Sam Rappaport, who you mentioned, she is really the one that kind of came up with this idea and really, you know, got it moving and got it on the ground. And so it was just kind of, she was talking to a bunch of different international people at that event, and it was just kind of a how do we get this group of people together more than once every 4 years? Like, how do we develop the sport of women's tackle football? So that's kind of where the Women's World Football Game idea came about. We did the first event in 2014 in Dallas, and we had a great turnout. We had, you know, women from all over the world come to be at this camp. So it's something that's caught on, and we've continued to do every year. We doubled participation in 2015 in Tampa, and this year, 2016, we will be in New Orleans at the Saints training facility. So it's the first time that we've been able to work at an NFL facility, and the Saints have been great. They are, you know, really excited to have this event. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but Drew Brees actually did a quick video for us, so that's, you can check that out on our Facebook page. So it's just, the event keeps growing and growing. We already have women from 15 different countries signed up for the event this year, so it's really an international event, and it's an amazing event to see these women from all over the world come together, and it becomes a huge family. And you know, these women go back to their countries and they teach everybody in their countries, like, the different things that they've learned, the different skills and practice tips and things like that. So it's just been a really great event for the sport. And, you know, we look forward to another great event here in early March.
All right, Nkeshi, do you have any questions for Elizabeth?
Well, I do. You know, looking at everything, and I'm excited that you guys are definitely going to be down in New Orleans. I mean, of course, that's like a great place to be, and you guys are going to be right there a little bit before Mardi Gras. So, woohoo, kudos to you. But
yeah, it'll be fun.
Yes, it is definitely going to be fun. Very familiar with that area. I'm a dirty South girl myself. But I wanted to know, like, you know, when you guys are having the programs and the events, what are some of the events that, you know, attendees can look forward to participating in? And will you all have any support from some of the NFL players and coaches?
We don't have anything as far as NFL players and coaches exactly confirmed yet. You know, we definitely hope that might happen. So that's definitely a possibility if anybody is available. We will have a lot of different things in this year's event. So one of the big things that we go over is the Heads Up Football program and that training. So that covers, you know, proper tackling techniques, equipment fitting, you know, blocking techniques. It goes into heat and hydration, you know, just all kinds of safety aspects of the sport so that, you know, these women that sometimes haven't always been taught those things can, you know, learn these things, take them back to their country. So we'll be doing a lot of that. We also have a shadow coach program with this event. So we invite anybody, you know, that's new to coaching or just wants to, you know, be involved in the event and help out with our coaches to attend. We'll do what we call a player safety coach clinic with them, which is, you know, what USA Football does all across the country with their youth and high school programs. So again, it's just going over the Heads Up Football techniques, you know, techniques on coaching and teaching and different things like that. So the shadow coach program will allow them to be on field with all of our coaches. They'll be at all the practices. We'll have coach meetings after practice and those things like that. So that's a really good program for, you know, new coaches, players that are recently retired and want to get into coaching and things like that. So there'll be a lot of stuff going on at this event, and we've extended it a couple days this year. That's one of the big things we've heard from previous events is that it's been too short. So we extended it a little bit. You know, we get pack in a lot of football in a week, and then we end the last day. We'll have full contact games. We'll have jerseys, you know, pads, helmets, and we'll get to actually play some games at the end. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good event.
Now, another quick. Oh, I'm sorry, Troy. I just have one more quick question for Elizabeth.
Sure.
With the shadow training program, mm-hmm. Do you find that some of the players go back and utilize that information to coach on the youth leagues? Because I know that as women are becoming more actively involved in the coaching aspect of the game, do you see women becoming more involved with their sons, you know, or even just local youth football in general? Because I know their USA Heads Up Football program is being utilized on the youth level because we had this program for our coaches when my son played. So do you see any of that happening as well?
Yeah, definitely. We've seen a lot of women get into coaching at the youth and high school level. I know of, you know, just off the top of my head, I know of two Team USA alumni that are now coaching youth and high school level. Katie Sauer, she's actually going to be coaching at one of the All-Star games coming up pretty soon. So a lot of women are getting into coaching, and it's great for the game. You know, women can coach just as well as men can. You know, we've seen that with Jen Welter as well, getting into NFL coaching with the Cardinals and how much success she's had. So I think it'll just continue to grow.
Yeah, with Katie Sowers, it was good to see that she's going to get a shot at the East-West Shrine Bowl, you know, get a coaching gig there and get a little bit of exposure as well. And I'm glad you brought up earlier about the safety about the safety aspect of it. And going along with that thread, I mean, do you see, you know, one of the biggest concerns about football and contact football, and this is at every level of the sport, do you guys have the same concerns with concussions and the risk that you, you know, the risk with concussions that you guys have out there?
I mean, that's USA Football's number one priority is health and safety of every player, male, female, youth, high school, adult. So it's the number one priority, and that's where the Heads Up Football program kind of came into play. And it's a program designed to teach coaches proper ways to coach the game. And that's not only the on-field stuff, but that's equipment fitting, you know, heat and hydration training, all those things like that that go into making the sport, you know, better and safer for the future. So it's definitely the number one priority at USA Football, no matter, you know, male, female, it doesn't matter. That's the number one priority. So, and we've seen the youth girls tackle league out in Utah has been doing the Heads Up Football program, which, you know, Sam Rappaport is on their board and has been a huge, you know, help in getting that program started. So it's, you know, I think that will continue to grow as well. And, you know, we definitely, if any youth program out there, we recommend them doing the Heads Up Football and just making sure that their coaches are certified and know how to teach the game properly. And just, you know, and it'll continue to grow and spread. And it's, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter youth, high school, adult, male, female, it's all about playing the game the right way.
From an organizational standpoint, I mean, it sounds like it's a lot of moving parts along with the organization. I mean, I always like to see, I'm a how things work type of person. So I always try to figure out the aspect of, I mean, where do you start from the organizational standpoint with this? I mean, because obviously, I mean, it seems like you guys have, you know, you have to have a lot of organizational, a lot of moving parts. So you have to have a lot of organizational savvy. How did you even get started, you know, in this effort that you have going here?
With the Women's World Football Games?
Yes.
So, so like I said, it started a couple years ago. Sam is actually the director, is a football development. So that incorporates a lot of different areas that she works with and manages. We do, you know, youth flag football. We do the men's and women's national flag teams. We do the women's national tackle team, and then the Women's World Football Games. So it, like you said, it does take a lot of planning, a lot of organizing. We have a great team here at USA Football that, and our team continues to grow as, you know, as we get bigger. So we have a great events department that really helped us kind of kick this Women's World Football Games event off. We kind of partnered with the International Bowl the first year. So we had a lot of the staff down in Dallas, and we used a lot of the resources that were already there for the other event. So that, you know, it really helped us kind of get started. And as we've continued to grow and we learn from things that happened last year and we get feedback from the athletes. So that really helps us with the planning process in the future. So it's kind of, you know, once we got it off the ground and moving, it's growing, but it's, you know, it's kind of getting easier to make this event happen each year, which is great.
Awesome.
Well, Elizabeth, I have a question. Given the popularity that's being excited about over like in Australia, in Europe, in Sweden, all the countries that already have some top teams. Do you think at this point in the U.S., we have two leagues, do you think combining the two leagues, have you guys ever thought about helping them out to combine instead of being two separate entities at this point? Is there anything in the works for that, or are we leaving those things that is on a separate level with you guys?
We don't run the leagues directly. You know, I mean, we're here to definitely support them in anything that they need. So as far as I know, you know, we don't have any plans to make that happen. If, you know, if they came to us and needed help or needed support and things, like, we would definitely be here for them. But we don't run the leagues per per se. So that would kind of be up to them, and if they wanted our help with something like that. But I know the leagues, you know, they both continue to grow, and it's amazing for the sport that women have a place to play this game that they love. So, you know, I hope that they do continue to grow and grow in number and quality of play. And we've seen a couple of international players from the Women's World Football Games actually meet U.S. players here that play in the league and have come over for a season and played with them. And that just kind of shows, you know, what a family the women's tackle football community really is, for these women to leave their country to come to the U.S. to play a season in one of the leagues and one of the local teams here in the U.S. And so that's kind of an amazing story. And that really, you know, that really shows how great these leagues are, that people want to come from around the world to come to the U.S. and play on a women's professional team here. So
now, Elizabeth, on a certain scale, governing bodies overseas that I know of, for example, Australia has the governing body with the umbrella of, you know, the Gridiron Australia. They are required under that umbrella to have equal footing for juniors, seniors, and women. So are we at that level now in this country with the USA Football to give them an equal footing, given the fact that you guys are now more involved with, like, creating the events at this point?
Yeah, we definitely, you know, we definitely support football at all levels, youth, high school, adult. We manage all of the U.S. national teams, so all of the men's teams. We do the men's and women's national flag teams, which will actually be competing later this year in the IFAF World Championships. We manage the women's national team, that their next tournament will be in 2017 coming up. So it's, you know, it's definitely, we definitely do support the women's national teams just like we do the men's, and I think, you know, those programs will only continue to grow as well.
Now, in regards to NFL funding of any sort, I mean, besides, I know they support the Heads Up program, do you see them going into a realm of support maybe for the women's game in the future going forward, or is that two ways out still?
You know, I think it could definitely happen in the future. The NFL is definitely supportive of the women's tackle game. They're going to be doing a women's summit at Super Bowl this year. So, you know, they're definitely, I think, are getting more involved and are more interested in the women's tackle football game. So, you know, we'll see what happens in the future, but, you know, it could be a possibility.
Troy, you got any other questions for Elizabeth? Troy?
Sorry about that. Had some technical difficulties. Where do you see, you know, you did mention that you had the 2017 World Championships come up. What do you see as the future for the women's branch of the USA Football?
You know, I think we'll continue to grow as well. You know, it's you know, we'll continue to do this Women's World Football Games. Like I said, we have the women's national flag team is going to be competing this year, and you know, who knows what the future holds. I think it's looked good for the sport of women's tackle football. So as it grows, you know, we'll definitely continue to grow as well, and just, you know, want to support the game as much as possible, and help it grow, and you know, and help the international game as well, not just here in the U.S., but helping the international game. And, you know, the sport is growing, and so, you know, so will we.
Good deal.
So now, Elizabeth, in terms of sponsorship, is there anything different now? Because I know certain international series games with the International Bowl on the senior side, and they get sponsorship. Is that equal sponsorship at this point for this event going forward, or is that something that has to be done differently for each section of, you know, of division play? In other words, like the International Bowl usually holds contests between, like, let's say U.S. and Mexico, USA and Canada, but they have certain sponsors. So is that something that's being, you know, thought about in terms for the women's side or the women's division?
We've definitely had those talks with our sponsorship department. Sometimes sponsorships are on a event-to-event basis, so it kind of depends on, you know, what the event is, where it is, the different things like that go into it. So, but it's definitely a conversation we've had with our sponsorship team. And you know, I think that in the future that, you know, hopefully we will have more sponsors for this event, and it'll continue to grow, and, you know, more sponsors will want to be involved. So that's, you know, that's definitely, I think, something that will happen here in the future.
Awesome. So, and Kishi, any last questions for Elizabeth?
Well, she's addressed some of them, you know, when talking about the sponsorships. But not only in terms of sponsorships, but what are the ways in terms of marketing and promotions is USA Football, as well as the women's games, looking to, you know, further increase awareness? Because while we're growing the game, we also have to be able to grow a fan base and be able to put, you know, butts in the seats, you know, for ticket mm-hmm. sales and revenue and, mm-hmm. You know, continuity. And how do you see the World Games being able to contribute to furthering the expansion of women's football in that manner?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the video that Drew Brees did for us here a week or so ago, it was huge. I mean, we got 7,000 views in less than 24 hours. So, and that's, you know, a huge NFL player talking about women's tackle football. So I'm sure that probably reached a lot of people that, you know, might not have even known that the world of women's tackle football exists. So, you know, things like that really help get the word out. The, you know, media helps get the word out. We definitely, we have a great communications team here that sends out press releases about our teams and our events and things like that. So they definitely help try to spread the word for us. And, you know, people like Jen Welter and Katie Sowers and those people that are, you know, getting amazing coaching opportunities are going to help, you know, spread the word too. They're definitely going to reach people that, you know, don't know that there might be a women's tackle football team in their city that they didn't even know about until, you know, they hear about these women and where they've come from and that they've played women's professional sports. So I think the word will continue to spread with, you know, great people like that are out in the media and that are promoting the game of women's tackle football.
Anything else, Kishi?
No, that's awesome, and I'm really glad to see that. And that was one of the reasons why I had initially asked the question about what type of support were the World Games going to have from the guys, especially, you know, since the Super Bowl will be over, the Pro Bowl will be over. Here in D.C., one of the things that I've noticed that's really helped amp up the NBA, the WNBA and the Mystics is the fact that you will oftentimes see some of the Redskins players and some of the Capitals players and some of the Wizards players are now starting to attend the game, and they'll be down there on the, you know, floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that they're starting to get that support from their professional peers has been really helpful from, you know, to the WNBA and seeing the players there, because what their attendance is further validating the quality of the performance on the field or the court in this particular mm-hmm. instance, since it's the WNBA. And that was one of the reasons I was asking, you know, are you guys going to be able to, you know, secure that type of support, because that creates validation and credibility. And the more the men start to respect the game, I think you'll see that translate eventually into sponsorships and ticket sales and helping to deliver a fan base. So, yeah, definitely answer the question. So good job.
Exactly. And a couple of guys on our coaching staff are former players, and they absolutely love this event. Like, every year we get coaches that beg us to come to this event, as they love it. They love working with the women, and the women are just, like, they're so appreciative of good coaching, and they just soak it up, and you know, and they listen and they learn what the coaches are trying to communicate to them, and coaches just love working at this event. And you know, we have a couple of former NFL players that'll be down there coaching, and you know, like you said, that just, you know, helps validate the game, and they go back to their respective cities, respective teams, and you know, talk about how much they love this event and how much they love women's tackle football. So, you know, things like that, like you mentioned, definitely do help spread the word and get people excited about the game.
Now, Elizabeth, on this year, the IFAB Europe branch of IFAB had the Euro Championships in Europe. Is there anything planned here for a North America event by any chance with IFAB? You know, to have the Mexican and the Canadian and the U.S. squads maybe in an international series type like that or a tournament? Because I know the Swedish, you know, the European branches basically put up teams in that event with obviously, you know, the English team coming up second in that event to the Swedish. So is there something that may be in the works for that just to bring more fanfare and more excitement to the women's division?
Yeah, I don't know if IFAF specifically is planning anything like that. There have been some talks of trying to get women more involved in our international bowl, USA Football's international bowl. So that could be something down the future that you know is a huge event to get women more involved in that. But right now, we don't have anything planned.
All right, no problem. So, Elizabeth, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it, and I know Sam was not able to come on, but thank her as well, and then Joe as well for all his support to gather the interview and to have you here today. So we welcome you to come on a show anytime, especially with future events coming up, or anything that we need to get the word out. We're more than happy to participate in that. And we're glad that, you know, at the helm of the women's division, all of us that are fans of women's gridiron appreciate the fact that everybody's doing their diligence to bring attention and awareness to the sport.
Of course, of course. Thank you guys for having me so much. If anybody has any questions about the event or anything we're doing here at USA Football, you guys can find my contact information on the USA Football website. So feel free to reach out to me if you guys have any questions. But thanks so much for having me.
No,
thank you
so
Elizabeth.
Much for coming on.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Right.
And we look forward to another chat in regards to the women's division in USA Football. Have a great week. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Too.
Good luck.
Bye.
Well, you guys, there it is. One of the top persons that you can talk to in terms of the USA Football umbrella with the women's gridiron game. So nice of her to come on board and give us a couple minutes of her time. So at this point, we hope that down the road, as she said, with Katie Sowers participating in the Shrine game this weekend, and obviously Jen Welker in the press, just pretty much everywhere this weekend. She was in Arizona. She was at a convention for, during the Martin Luther King Day week, and Monday. She was also doing speeches there as well. So it's kind of nice to have her be kind of a voice now, especially in the media. And then she also was on NFL HQ during this week. So it was kind of exciting to see that as well.
Yeah, good deal, man. Yeah, I mean, it's always good to, you know, get a lot of different perspectives. So the last 3 weeks I've been learning a lot about the game. So, yeah, this is getting good for me. So, you know, I'm looking at how they run things organizationally, you know, their way of thinking as far as promoting the game and pushing the envelope for it. So it was a great conversation.
Absolutely. And then and one of the reasons why I asked about the coaching question is because, you know, as Troy knows, one of the first female football head coaches was here in D.C. for one of the local high school teams. Troy, which school was it? Do you remember?
I believe it was H.D. Woodson.
Yep, you're right. And so, you know, as women are getting more involved in the game, and it really does make a difference, I think, too, to help further the cause by being able to showcase women being able to coach. And so that's a good look.
Yeah, I think at all levels of the sport, as some of the veteran players in both the Women's Football Alliance and the Independent Women's Football League, I think you're going to start to see that. I know in Canada, in the Football Canada realm, I know for a fact in Canada they have a women's coaching program already in place. So Canada is not as big as the U.S. I mean, they don't have over 60 teams. In Canada, we're probably looking at 12 to 18 teams in terms of professionally on both the Maritime and the women's the Western Women's Leagues. So I know they're going to be brewing that up because they want to obviously have female coaches on the Football Canada women's squad participate in that sense. So I think it's going to just get bigger, like you said, especially with the women who are older. They're branching out and they can't play like they normally would on a normal squad anymore because of, you know, obviously age and limitations. I think they are going to start to branch out into, like Elizabeth said, the youth programs first and maybe move on to the high school levels and then at that point get their opportunities into a college level. So that's going to be exciting to see once that happens. Let's give a shout out to Liza Thomas, our 2016 No Joke Football Brand shoot with Christy Moran and Lauren Evans is up and running. And you can catch it on Instagram and our Twitter feed as well as our Facebook page. So check it out and kind of go like it and fix it up for us so that we can get more awareness out there. So thanks to Lauren and to Christy for doing the shoot, and we got more stuff coming up in 2016, especially in Australia. So if you want to book a shoot with Liza, she does weddings, events, and everything else, you can go to tlphotographyaustralia.com. That's tlphotographyaustralia.com. You can go to her contact us tab, and you can get a hold of her, and she'll give you rates and all that in the local Brisbane as well as in all Queensland. So catch our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com. And right here also on Blog Talk Radio anytime, so you can review the podcast. Even if we're not on, you can still have us on anytime you can listen to us. Please share our post on Facebook at Gridiron Beauties. And we want to thank everybody that has gone to the Zazzle Shop today and tomorrow, last day, 30% off everything at the shop. So you get 30% off tees, hoodies, any gifts that you want to do. Just make sure you use the code SEMIYEARSALE. Semi-yourself, usually at the upper tab. So if you forget it, you can see it at the upper tab. Every item sold helps us spotlight another talented player or players in the ladies' gridiron game, just like we talked about with Christy and Lauren. We also have Kristen Moore and Stacey Spears. So save big, like I said, daily codes. And you can also use Zazzle Black. Zazzle Black is a program that helps you if you shop frequently on Zazzle, not only in our shop, but at Zazzle.com. For about $10 a year, you can get free shipping in the U.S. So it's a great deal going on there. So, guys, we were talking divisional rounds, and we only got about 12 minutes here or so. So let's figure out the divisional rounds here, conference round. So, Troy, let's start with you. Denver, we have Brady Manning once again. So everybody expected that, given the fact that the Steelers were – I mean, they played tough. But everybody expected the Steelers, obviously, to fall to Denver. And the New England Patriots took care of, you know, their business as usual. So do we expect different here? I mean, Manning didn't look so good. There was, you know, obviously C.J. Anderson played pretty good. But overall, he didn't look like a real good well-oiled Manning. Do we expect Brady to be better here?
I mean, you always expect Brady to be prepared. I mean, this guy, you know, prepares better than anyone in the NFL along with his head coach. I mean, that's, you know, we were alluding to that earlier. With Peyton Manning, you know, not looking his best, I think, you know, people want to focus on the quarterback, but I think the main thing to focus on with Denver is the way their defense plays. They are as good as it gets. I mean, they are fast. They're mean. They can, you know, play man-to-man. They can beat you with zone. They get a lot of pressure. New England's offensive line is beaten up, but then at the same time, you know, they know that, you know, New England knows that. So that's why, and this has been Brady's MO throughout the years, is he gets the ball out of his hands about as fast as anyone. So they counter that with, you know, with the quick passing. You got Gronkowski, who was pretty much uncoverable. Denver's a great defense, but they still don't have anyone that can match up with that guy. I mean, he's 6'7", 260 pounds. It's an impossible matchup. But the way that Denver plays defense, it's going to be an intriguing matchup in itself. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to a real cat and mouse game. It's going to be, Wade Phillips, son of bum, against Tom Brady out there. It's going to be a great matchup.
And Kishi, were you surprised that the Seahawks got so bad in the first half of their against Carolina at this point, and then surprised that Carolina kind of just stepped off the pedal? I was kind of surprised on either end. Were you surprised at this point that the Seahawks played so poorly in the first two quarters, and then Carolina kind of just, or was it Seahawks just woke up in the second half?
Think of a little bit of both. If you actually look at a lot of the games that the Seahawks have won, their MO this whole season has been the comeback kids. They started the whole season down 0-4, with all of the stuff going on in the off season, and even Pete Carroll even alluded to that in a recent press conference, after the loss, that basically, they had to deal with all of that. Not only did they lose the first four games, Cam Chancellor was out for the first two, and, then you've got Jimmy Graham, who's trying to come into the new system, and then Marshawn Lynch is out, then Rawls is out. So they've pretty much been the comeback kids. I did not expect them to be down so far, and I think that there was a lot of really bad clock management by Pete Carroll's part, especially in the first half. I mean, they still had 4 minutes left, and they could have put something on the board. And so I think that really surprised me. And then missing the 50-yard field goal. So that surprised me that they didn't have anything on the board, but I'm not surprised that they were down. And no, I'm actually not surprised that the Panthers, they tend to do that. That seems to be their MO. They'll run you and beat you down, and then take the foot off the gas. I mean, look at how they almost lost to the Giants, in that game. I mean, that was another comeback situation. And then they had to fight tooth and nail to squeak out a win against the New Orleans Saints. So, it doesn't surprise me. And I think that that's going to be their downfall, is that they've got to put the pedal to the metal, but then they've got to play four quarters of football. You can't just play two or three and slow up and think that, you've gotten the beat. Because as Herm Edwards says, I swear to God, it's one of my favorite quotes, you play to win the game. And I think that the Seahawks, once they got revved up, and they got their mojo back, they came to win.
I agree with you. I think time management was their downfall, because they were coming back. They ran out of time. I mean, if they would have had another 3 minutes or something like that, mm-hmm. I think it would have made a big difference. But they just ran out of time. I mean, they played well in the second half, but they just could not – they didn't have enough time. That was really what it boiled down to. And Carolina, I think, just barely won, if you think about it. Even the score being what mm-hmm. it is, to your point, they skated by. So, Troy, with that mentality, is Mr. Bruce Arians going to just, roll over because the Panthers are just the best team in the NFC?
Absolutely not. I mean, you watch this guy's demeanor. He's all fire, man. I mean, his players love it. During the week, he's about as intense as it gets. I mean, Bruce Arians he's looking at this game, and I think, in my opinion, that, he respects the Panthers, but he knows this is a winnable game for his team. Just the way his team is stacked up at each position, at the offensive side of the ball, I mean, they have wide receivers that, it's very few people can keep up with their top four guys. They have a decent running game going right now with the rookie Johnson in the backfield. He didn't really get it going against the Packers, and I think they, kind of stacked it up against them. But, I mean, look at Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, this guy, the old man out there, I mean, they moved him to the slot at the beginning of the year. Most superstars wouldn't have taken that, being in a reduced role, and he's done nothing but had one of his best years this year. So to watch how the Cardinals play and how they prepare, I think they're not going to be intimidated going against Carolina. And listen, let's just be honest here. Carolina has shown the propensity just as exactly what Nkechi said. I was thinking the same thing. Carolina has a tendency to get lax. They have a tendency to relax, and I don't know if it's they don't have a killer instinct. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if they're naturally a conservative team and they just happen to be up by 31 points because they did have the ball bounce their way several times with the interception, run back for a pick six by Kuechly. But they don't – I don't really feel like they have that killer instinct. And if they come in there lax against Arizona, which I don't think they will, but if they come in there lax against Arizona, I mean, I think Arizona's going to cut them out.
And, Kishi, is this Carson Palmer's game to lose, or is this Carson Palmer's game to just be a game changer?
No, I think this is definitely Carson Palmer's game to win. I totally think that Palmer has what it takes. He has a lot, and I think that you know, he wants to get that monkey off his back from all those years in Cincinnati. And I think that Cam may be the better athletically gifted quarterback, but I think Carson Palmer is a more football astute quarterback, and that they're playing with two different skill sets. One's playing with their head. The other one, I think, is playing with instinct. And I think that that really makes a difference. I think Carson Palmer, with all his longevity, has had the ability to not only read defenses, but he's also had a chance to be able to situations and look at the game, look at how to manage the clock, look at how to manage the time, as well as, you know, to make adjustments on the fly from a football perspective. Whereas Cam is, while he's a great quarterback, I think a lot of it is still just raw natural instinct as opposed to being a student of the game.
So, Troy, are we going with Brady versus Arians at this point? I mean, that's really Belichick, Arians in the final. Would that be what we're doing here?
It's gonna be hard for me to pick against Brady and Belichick. I mean, I think, you know, what they've done over the years, and it doesn't matter who they've gone against, what type of team, they found a way to get it done. So, yeah, in my opinion, the AFC, I have to go with the Patriots. I know they're 16-1. I know they have been dominant all year. But when I look at the eye test, I just don't see this dominant team that – other people see when I look at Carolina. I just don't see them winning this game. I think Arizona takes the game. I think they come in to Charlotte and they beat Carolina. And I actually think they're going to beat them by more than 10 points.
And Kishi, what are you on the same page? Brady, Arians at this point in the final?
I'm torn. And ironically, and it's really funny that you asked that question because I think it was ESPN did a poll, you know, on who, you know, people wanted. And by age group, by gender, it was almost a perfect dead heat with 36% wanting to see because it would also be a rematch. Remember the first Super Bowl the Patriots won under the Brady Belichick era was against the Panthers. So people want a rematch. Where the demographic differ was that the younger demographic individuals who are, I think it was 24 to 34, or 34 on down, that was where the largest number was in terms of people who want to see Patriots and Panthers. The older demographics actually want to see Cardinals and the Patriots, but almost nobody wants to see the Broncos. And I found that to be interesting because if this is supposed to be Peyton Manning's swan song, he is not getting the love that that the bus got, you know, when Steelers made it to the Super Bowl, or that Ray Lewis got when the Ravens made it to the Super Bowl. So I found that to be interesting.
I think we're all realists now. I think we're all realists that Peyton is probably over the hill a year later. I think that's probably the reality of everything. That's why we're all thinking in that sense. Go ahead, Troy.
No, I think that the reason why you're not getting that kind of push is because everyone knows that Peyton Manning still thinks he can play. I don't think there's many people that feel like that Peyton Manning is going to retire. I think if, let's just say if, you know, the beginning of the season or middle of the season, you know, Peyton came out and said, hey, you know what, this is going to be my last year. I'm just going to, you know, just operate my Papa John's franchises. And, you know, if they would have said all of that, you know, then okay. Then people would be like, you know what, I want to see Peyton just get one more, man. You know, he's gotten one. He needs to get one more. His brother has two. I want to see him get two. But I think, you know, there's been reports that's coming out that Peyton Manning said, hey, I'm playing somewhere next year. I'm playing, whether it's going to be here or somewhere else, I'm playing. So I don't think people think this is it for him.
Well, yeah, but now remember
so he's on the Joe Namath tour, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be on the Joe Namath tour?
You are so bad. Well,
yeah,
no, but I mean, well, yeah, no, I think you're right. I was going to say something. That, you know, but actually you're right.
Do it, girl.
It
do
only
it.
My thought of, well, no, because originally I was going to say Stephen Smith Sr., you know, the wide receiver from the Ravens, said that this was going to be his last year, and then he went out with an Achilles injury that ruined, you know, for the rest of the season and went out on IR, and now he's like, oh, hell no, I'm coming back. And everybody's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think you're right. I think that if Peyton would just sit down and announce that he's going to retire – then I think people would want to see him go out on top, you know, because in all honesty, to come back from the neck injury was a great redemption story. The NFL and NFL fans love a comeback kid story. The problem is he came back and he hasn't succeeded, and now he's dragging it out, and now he's actually less of the Joe Namath tour, and he's almost turning into the Brett Favre show 2.0.
I agree.
Hey, we might end up seeing him in the L.A. Rams uniform. Huh? Might see him in L.A. Rams. Speaking of Joe Namath. Huh?
I don't know if Fisher will go that far, but weirder things have happened. I mean, I did get my team back, so that's an applaud. I did get my team back, but other than that, I mean, you know, the coach is still there, so I have no real hopeful for the 2006 Rams. So I'm just thinking, you know, that's something's going to improve there. We do have talent, but you know how that goes. I mean, until we get a coaching change, it doesn't matter what Mr. Kroenke thinks with money. It's just going to be the same. And Kishi, I know you got a bail because you got kids and stuff like that. So we can do the rundown here, Troy, if you want, with the Queensland. Get the women's recaps going, but interesting enough, so Troy, just to finalize it, you're taking Brady and Arizona for the final, and Kishi, are you taking Brady and Arizona for the final?
No, I'm going to go Panthers-Patriots for the final.
Okay, so I'm on Troy's side.
I know, it's not logical.
Sorry to bail on that, but I'm on Troy's side. I really think
That's
Arians
okay.
is not...
I'm lone-wolfing
it. He's one step away from... like, you know, going to the big game. I don't think this guy wants to not go to the big game. You know what I mean? Rivera seems like he's on coasting mode. He's like, okay, we just got to get one more game and then we're in the big deal. I just don't see the aggression there. I do see the aggression, like Troy's point. You got Fitzgerald. You got Johnson playing well. You know, Palmer hungry, to your point. Maybe that's the case. But we'll find out, obviously, this coming weekend. We'll find out exactly who's going to muster up the better matchup.
Well, the only reason why I'm going Panthers actually has less to do with Cam, and actually more to do with the Panthers defense. And even though Arians might be in coast mode, we all know that man is one of the top defensive minds in the NFL. I'm surprised to see and I guess I'm surprised, you know, how he's kind of being a little hands-off with the offense. But what he's been able to do with that Panthers defense has been nothing short of scary. And if they are able to keep Jared Allen, which it does not look like they are, but if they're able to keep Jared Allen in the game, then I definitely think that the defense is going to be what makes the difference. And I'm going to throw something out there. People aren't mentioning his name, but that darn Courtland Finnegan, okay, first of all, I think he's a dirty player. That's just my personal opinion. I thought that when he was with Tennessee. However, he came out of retirement to get on this Panthers team. So somebody who's coming out of retirement isn't coming to get this far for no reason. And I think that between him and Jared Allen, they put a kickstart to the Panthers' defense that has been unlike anything. And I think that if the defense can get to Carson Palmer, that's going to be the difference maker, is creating turnovers. Because, yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm really going with the Panthers more for defense, ironically, and less in offense. I know Cam's going to be spectacular, and he's going to do wonderful Cam-like stuff, and you're just going to be yelling, Cam, oh, go Superman. But I'm really looking to see what the Panthers' defense puts on the field.
All right, so you're either going to be very excited on Tuesday, next Tuesday, or you're going to be having a pacifier and very disappointed in the Panthers.
I know, I won't really care either way, actually.
Well, I know that.
Because,
we know that.
Well,
it's not Dallas,
right.
So you're not going to be
right.
whipping
sure
on anything.
Not. Sure is
exactly.
not.
Exactly.
But,
so,
you know,
but
I also like
yeah,
Larry
I mean,
Fitzgerald,
I agree with
and
you.
I'd like to see him get a shot. I'd like to see Larry Fitzgerald get a shot at redemption, you know,
yeah.
as well. Because
yeah.
he's one of those good guys that everybody likes, and you'd like
yeah.
to see him get a ring. So I'm not going to really care either way. I'm going to like both players.
Right.
But I really would like to see what the defense puts up for the Panthers.
I really like the story of Carson and Fitzgerald overcoming and finally making it. And I really love the story of Troy. I'm going to go on a limb. I really like the story of Bruce Arians. Forgive me, Erica Lynn, but Bruce Arians toppling the evil empire. So that's
yes.
a real good story. What do you think?
Well, I mean, just the reason why I root for Bruce Arians is because, I mean, talk about an underdog. I mean, this guy's
yeah.
been, he's been coaching forever. You know, no one wanted to give him a job. And it actually took a bout of cancer, you know, for Chuck
yeah.
Pagano for him to actually get noticed as a good, as a great coach. I mean, he coached Ben Roethlisberger for years. He had those guys going. He coached Andrew Luck. I mean, just to watch him, you know, progress into what he is now. And you know, and after he left, I mean, Andrew Luck had a pretty decent season last year. This year, he kind of regressed. So you kind of start to see, you know, how much he meant, you know, right now to Andrew Luck. I mean, that's even before
mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck started to get hurt. And just the way he operates that offense, I mean, the desert has been a desert for years. He shows up,
mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that one season under Wisenhunt where they made the Super Bowl against the Steelers, I mean, that place has been, you know, desolation. And he's got these guys going in the right direction in 2 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
and both of those years he's got his team in the playoffs. And just to watch how he's progressed and watch how his players love him, even though he's hard-nosed, you got to root for a guy like that, man. So whether he beats Belichick or not, I think they have the weapons too. I think, you know, especially with the injury standpoint from you know, from the Patriots' point of view. And, you know, the Patriots have shown that, you know, sometimes they don't win the big games, so they don't win them all. So I think, you know, they do have the ability to do it. I just don't see Belichick losing to anybody this year, especially what they've gone through. I just think they can pretty much get through anything. They're that good. So I still think
the Patriots
will win the game.
I don't. I think out of the two NFC teams, I think that the Cardinals can beat the Patriots. I really do. I think the Cardinals can beat the Patriots, but they're going to have to beat them on offense because they're not going to be able to beat them on defense. And I think that if the Panthers get a chance, the Panthers will beat the Patriots based on defense, not on offense, because Cam cannot keep up with Tom Brady.
Well, you do realize we have Erica Lynn right now listening to all this. So she's probably
I know,
not happy
we love Erica. I know.
Erica,
we love her.
You, yeah, we know what you feel, and all this week on Twitter she's been getting heated. So I know she's on the heat on the hot button tabs. But you know, reality is this: Tom Brady and Belichick will be a big obstacle to overcome for anybody that comes out of the NFC. To Troy's point, so but let's you know, Arians to me, Arians would probably have the bigger shot because he's probably mm-hmm. has the best, the better offensive threat. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, and Keisha, I know you got a bail, so sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite. Toy, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here in the next five, and then
all right, guys,
we're
catch
out.
You
and
next
then
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, we'll see what comes about from this weekend. So we'll see if our predictions came true.
Got it. All right, so starting in Gridiron, Queensland, this past weekend, Interstate Champions clashed between QLD Champions and the GC Stingrays versus the NSW Champions, the UNSW Raiders. And the Rays ended up winning the game 26-0. I mean, it was, you know, just a dominating performance by the GC Stingrays. So, I mean, congratulations to them winning the championship. Also, like to shout out to our No Joke Football supporters, Lauren Evans of the GC versus the versus Stacy Spear of the UNSW Raiders. They battled it out. The GC Stingrays won this historic first encounter, and it was a great game, you know, by the GC Stingrays. I mean, just dominating performance. And you can follow Gridiron Queensland on Facebook for our off-season updates. Gridiron Queensland is looking for volunteers for the next season in 2016. So you can visit their website, www.gridironqueensland.com. Gridiron Victoria Women's new season starts on February 2016. That will be on the February 13th and 14th. And the Vic Bowl will be on April 30th, 2016. And you can contact them on Twitter. And that be at GridironVIC for more details. You can also visit the Women's Gridiron Leagues of Australia on Facebook or on Twitter, Women's Gridiron, for the latest news on Australian offseason. And then you can also follow the GC Stingrays on Twitter, at GC Stingrays, and at Gridiron Queensland, QLD, for the upcoming 2016 tryouts and dates. You can also follow on Twitter for Gridiron NSW, it's New South Wales, on Twitter, and you can follow them on their website at gridironnsw.com for trials and dates as well. You can also follow on Twitter for Gridiron Vic, Gridiron VIC on Twitter for the latest news and tryouts for 2016.
All right, the LGL news, LGL reminder, watch LGL Sunday Night Football via Foxtel 183 in January for the upcoming games of Game 5 and Game 6. Check your local listings for the new games as they appear in the Aussie land. Foxtel's pending Game 5 air date of the clash of the undefeated teams, which was the Adelaide Phoenix with quarterback Lisa Fife taking on Danielle DeGroote and the Canberra Mustangs. The Phoenix won 36-28 in a hard-fought a battle. Lisa Fife once again helped the Phoenix win in fourth quarter fashion as she earns her second MVP honor of the year. Canberra behind Danielle DeGroote and company could not hold off Adelaide's late surge, and the Mustangs fall to 1-1 and await the next match, which is against the West Coast Angels. West Coast Angels are going to be taking on the Brisbane Blaze on January 30th. The Phoenix earns the finals berth with the perfect 3-0 undefeated season. So they're ready to go in the finals. They've got to wait for the rest of the matchups to converge as to who will be their opponent. Game 6 will be January 30th as the Brisbane Blaze host the West Coast Angels. You can follow the Blaze at Brisbane_Blaze and the West Coast Angels at WC_Angels for ticket details, or you can go to LGLAUST. West Coast Angels behind quarterback Tegan Brown and running back Brittany Ware after a hard-fought loss to the Phoenix. Look to get a must-win on the road in Queensland to stay in the race for a playoff berth for the LGL title. Will the Blaze remain winless, or will they surprise the high-powered offensive threat of Angels quarterback Brown and running back Ware? You can follow the LGL End Zone for game day updates and broadcast info all season, plus at LGLAUST on Twitter. You can visit the LGL website, which is ladiesgridiron.com, ladiesgridiron.com for tickets and details. Troy, the LFL news?
The Omaha Heart had open trials on January 9th and its new beginning for the Heart after a horrible 2015. The Heart coach, Tony DeRemus, looks toward the mini camp to improve on the 2016 season
The Heart had one of the best defenses in the LFL last year, so they're looking to improve upon that. The Chicago Blitz also had an open tryout, saw 40 players selected for the minicamp selections. Now, Coach Hack has no loyalty to the veterans. He's given new additions to add on there. The 20 roster for the 2016 will be tough to decide on. Now, over the weekend, the Patriots gained one of the New England Liberty players, Melissa Teixeira, known as on Twitter as at Hemi Girl, was punched in the face during the game by a male versus the KC Chiefs. She posted on Periscope her frustrated state, and she's given and given she's a season ticket holder, she was not happy that she was removed from the game. So want to look forward to finding out what happened with that one or the fallout from that one. In Texas, the Austin Acoustics, with a lot of rookies from the Sugar and Spice Football League, they're poised to surprise in 2016 campaign, so we're going to keep an eye on them. The Dallas Desire, they also added to the mini camp former Sin vets Kelly Campbell and Sunshine Yuli, plus former Temptation quarterback Michelle Angel to compete with legendary quarterback Linda Brenner. It'll be a tough roster to reduce to 20, given all the talented hopefuls. So we're going to keep an eye on what transpires there as well. Now, for your latest news, you can follow the LFL on their website. You can follow at www.lfl360.com or Legends Football League on Facebook.
All right, U.S. Women's News. Reminder, registration for the Women's World Football Games 3 is still on at the New Orleans Saints facility for the March 1st through the 6th event on now. So you can get tickets there. You can go at USA Football for the link to go register. You can also go to our Facebook page and our Twitter timeline. Get the details on our page, or you can follow at USA Football on Twitter. WFA, the WFA Women's Football Alliance news, Las Vegas Showgirls owner Dion Lee has appointed Carrie Walter as coach for the 2016 season. The Showgirls, formerly of the WFA, also announced a 10-game schedule but declined membership in either of the two top leagues in the WFA or IWFL. They will participate as an independent team seeking out schedules with other teams from the two leagues. I was told it was due to cost. They did not want to participate in the WFA and IWFL because of the amount of money that it takes to participate. And given that they pay that big amount of money and they're not going to get anything but a schedule and nothing else in support, they decided to go independently on their route. So we'll see how that turns out for them in the season. We'll follow them as closely as we can. Victoria's Film, featuring the 2015 DC Divas Championship season at Indigo, has ended, but you can still help out. You can direct message and follow them at Victorious the Film on Twitter for more details on how you can still help with the project. WFA trading cards are being produced for the 2016 season by Doji Mello, featuring the WFA stars. You can go to WFAcards.com, WFAcards.com, and you can search for your favorite team player or regional superstar. Catch the latest WFA Nation series, talking women's gridiron topics and how to improve the sport as a whole. You can visit WFANation.com, WFANation.com, and you can get the links there also on our Facebook page or timeline. Follow the U.S. and Canada leagues for tryouts until February of 2016. The WWCFL just posted their schedule. They kick off in May of 2016, so you can see it on our timeline, or you can follow at WWCFL to get the schedule there. January 23rd, Majestics Boot Camp will be in place, so it's coming up soon here. Follow the Seattle Majestics for details and link. And for more tryout dates, follow the at Backseat Coach for weekly tryout news in the WFA and IWFL. On Twitter, the official links for the two leagues in the U.S. is at WFA Football for the Women's Football Alliance, at IWFL for the Independent Women's Football League. In Canada, you can follow on Twitter as well at WWCFL for the Western Women's Canadian Football League and the MWFL Football for the Maritime Women's Football League. Keep up to date with the number one source covering women's tackle football 24/7 on social media, and that would be us, of course. Follow us at Gridiron Beauty and on our Facebook page at Gridiron Beauties. Don't forget to go like us on Facebook, too, so you can witness all the amazing girls that are playing American football globally. Use the hashtag NoJokeFootball to see if you're going to be the next featured athlete on our gallery. And we can get the word out on your team, league, or profile on a player towards the new season in 2016. You can also direct message us on Twitter or Facebook, or you can email us at gridironbeauties@gmail.com. So, Troy, let's finish up. We've got G.I. Quindom here.
Yeah, you can go to the Twitter page at G.I. Quindom and check out the amazing stories of talented young ladies playing No Joke Football. And follow, use that hashtag for No Joke Football. You can also follow at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and at Jostler46 for the latest news on Australia and FXF Mexico scene. Don't forget to follow on NFL Games Days. You can follow at Keishi's Cuties on Twitter. You can follow myself at Troy_Wilson_1. You can also follow at PatsFangirl12 and Fit for Life for NFL Talk.
And that should do it. I think we're out. So we're looking forward to see who comes out of the divisional rounds at this point into the conference championship. So we said Brady versus Arizona for us, and Nkishu's going with New England versus Carolina. So we'll see how that turns out. So for Troy Wilson, Nkishu Free, and Erica, shout out. We're choosing Brady at this point. So we'll be here next week on Tuesday with another edition of the Gridiron Blitz right here on Blog Talk Radio and on UltimateSportsTalk.com. Troy, have a great night. We'll see you next week.
See you guys. Take it easy.